good to have everyone here. So for the final episode review. So welcome to Vassals Kingsgrave. My name is Glenn Dacos-Rivers from the podcast Face and Fire forums. And today we'll be reviewing the final episode of Game of Thrones, Season 8, Episode 6, The Iron Throne. I'm joined by...
Hi everyone, this is Nadia.
Hey, it's a very sick shadow baby.
Hello, my little jock too.
This is the Wolfcast edition of the episode. So I guess we can start off with lemon cake ratings. So who wants to start?
Honestly, I've never given the show a bowl of brown, but this was just way too much for me. I did not like it at all. So yeah, a bowl of brown for me.
I'll give it 1 out of 5 because Ghost is back.
This will get a banquet of bowls of brown. 77 courses of brown bowls. I hated it.
Oh, and for myself, I am a bit more positive about it. I did think that last episode I did give it a 2 lemon cakes, but I'll upgrade that because even though it was ridiculous at times, there was a lot of things that made me question it. It seemed like I've started watching a cartoon. But I thought that the ending did make up for the episode, so I loved the ending, the montage scenes. Of course, the special effects were great, and just overall, as a conclusion to the story. So I would give it a 3 lemon cake score. There was a lot of negativity. I guess it divided fans with what happened, the ending. So, Hannah, you were saying that you predicted the ending.
Well, no, not the ending as in like all of that garbage, but I've always said that there will be no Iron Throne for anyone to sit on. Like, I hope that's the way the books are too, so I called that. And I've always thought that Arya's...
Sorry to interrupt, I'm just saying that they still have a king, like, it's...
No, I know. That's why, like, I did not call that, because that's, like, installing a new regime that's more of the same with one less kingdom and one less chair is fucking stupid. Okay. I hoped that in the books it would come down to, like, the Red Keep and the Iron Throne are destroyed. And so similarly, like, a coalition of lords and ladies are figuring out what the hell to do. And like, I've always wanted it to see split back up into 7 kingdoms. And then when there are, like, national security matters, they vote as a quorum of 7 kings and queens. So I just called the fact that there would be no Iron Throne left. And then with Arya, I always thought that her story would end like Reaper Cheeps does in Voyage of the Dawn Treader, where she just goes and... sails off the end of the world.
I am mad because none of my predictions came true. I was wrong about all of it. Who thought Bran would become king?
I did.
Not me. I did not spend 8 years watching this show, discussing these books, for Bran to become the king at the end of it. And Bran has been such a non-character in the show. Like, he hasn't done anything. He's been around. I would have been happier if they had chosen anyone other than Bran.
But then knowledge is power, and he does have a lot of it.
Have they mentioned that he's also, like, seeing the future? But if he does see the future, like, what's the point? If he's not telling anyone, if he's not using that knowledge, then what is the point of having that memory, of having those visions?
Also, just because you know everything doesn't make you just. It doesn't make you a good ruler arguably he'd be worse because now he's like full blown on the spectrum and doesn't have any feelings.
So, Jock, when did you predict Bran would become the king?
Because Dan and Dave have a thing of showing characters they think are leading well, as in having no emotions. And Bran didn't have any emotions.
I guess I'm starting with the episodes. So, of course, it starts out, you see the aftermath of last week's battle, last week's destruction by Drogon. And Tyrion then walks through, and instead of Arya's viewpoint, you now have Tyrion's viewpoint of the aftermath. So he walks by burned people, burned children. You see, of course, all the wreck and havoc that it's caused. And then eventually passes by, of course, Jon and Davos, and keeps walking until he finally finds Cersei and Jaime. So clutched together, but confirmed dead.
No.
I had a small hope they might be alive. Because I know there was a lot of... I know you shouldn't read what you see on the internet, but I know that a lot of people were speculating one of them would still be alive, or...
Well...
It would be that...
For a tiny second, I was kind of hoping, like, he'd move some stones and she'd be, like, a little bit alive, like, help me. And then he kills her because that would be on message of the Valonqar. But they don't even give a shit about their own canon, let alone the books, so they just do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, I hate that so much.
Yeah. Like, oh, it will be stupid if she is alive, but at least it'll be, like, correct. It's like when you're hoping for something like that, you know you've gone.
I know, I always had a hope that the Valonqar would come into the show at one point when they don't initially mention it in the show in season 5. I thought it would maybe come back at one point, but it never did. I'm surprised we've seen Jaime and Cersei in this episode, because Tyrion does walk by and he sees all the broken parts of the ceiling around him, and he walks by and sees the golden hand. So I thought, oh, that'll be a good excuse not to show the actors for this episode, that he just sees the golden hand and doesn't look for them. He just knows that they're dead.
I mean, that's got to be some kind of contractual thing that they had. Same thing with, like, Theon and Jorah after the...
Oh, true.
You know, battle. It had to have been, like, they were signed on to do X amount of episodes.
Oh, that's a good point. Yep. Of course, you've got all the captured soldiers that were on the Lannister side, and Grey Worm is about to kill them, but Jon and Davos defend them and say that they have surrendered. But it's on Daenerys' orders that they die, so Jon said that he'll talk to the Queen.
Yeah, Grey Worm is just one more character that they destroyed at the end. Like, he was probably one of the most decent characters in the show for quite a few years. And now he's just, like, blindly going for revenge. I'm not even certain that he's following Dany's orders. Like, it's just... He's just killing people. Anyone who might be on the Lannister side. And it's just, I don't know. I did not enjoy that again.
We do get a classic, one final Daenerys speech that she's famous for throughout the series. So she does tell her Khalasar, her, of course, the Dothraki, of course, the Unsullied, that it doesn't stop here. We're also going to basically take over the world. We're going to take over Westeros, so we'll conquer Winterfell, Dorne, and we'll make our way throughout. And that's with Arya and Jon watching on and realising, oh, we've unleashed a monster here. So that's also Arya does say to Jon that, because Jon was planning to escape with Arya, and Arya says, you're a threat to her, and she won't forget that. So what are our thoughts around Jon's actions, his decision to kill Daenerys?
Whatever. After last week, like that,
yeah.
She has to die. There's no fucking way she can live after what she did. So they fucked it up. They totally butchered it, and I hate it.
Yeah, about the speech. Like, over 7 years, like, I fully expected Dany to go full Targ, burn everything down. But I just think that they went about it the wrong way. Like, there was no progression in her character, no gradual progression in her character. She was just fine, and then suddenly burn everything.
Yeah. Almost a decade of preamble that builds up a strong female ruler to be undone in about 2 minutes of previously on an audio clips over shots of her face being pissed off. You think that's enough exposition to excuse this storyline? Fuck you. Go fuck yourself. I really hate this.
And then after that, okay, fine, she burned down King's Landing, right? But then she gives the speech to the Dothraki and the Unsullied, and there's no acknowledgement of that.
I like how they made it look so much like Germany there. Like, that looks so Third Reich-y. They muted the colors even to make it look so Man in the High Castle-ish. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. You didn't do any of the work to build this up. So I don't like that, and I hope it doesn't happen in the books anyway. I could have been okay with it if they had even worked for it at all, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, she's destroyed the city. She's killed all these people, like women and children. And Tyrion points it out, and she's like, no, I've liberated the city. And it's like total denial. And Daenerys is not, she's not blind. Yeah, she might be mad, but she's not blind.
No, and I really despise the fact that out of fucking nowhere, they have her go full Jim Jones, get drunk off her own Kool-Aid. Like, they just changed her character with the flick of a wrist. I'm supposed to like that. I'm supposed to appreciate it and think it's artsy. Well, I don't. I feel like I'm being gaslit, honestly. I could have been okay with everything else. But this is awful.
I know. I was quite shocked by the whole transformation of the character. It's like ever since Jorah died, it's just been a complete change in the character. And also when Tyrion questioned Daenerys about it, that you burned the city, and that denial, like you were saying, that she doesn't even acknowledge that she's done a terrible thing by killing all these innocent people. And I think that ultimately it is sad about, well, I think it's, Jon did the right thing in killing her, just stopping any further war, stopping, of course, Drogon burning other cities, so Winterfell, burning Dorne, because that's where it could have led to. So he did the right thing. At the same time, it's really sad that he's punished, that he has to, of course, go back to the wall after that as punishment.
Well, okay, it's like on Dragonstone, or Dragonstone, on Dragoncast, Adam said that he had gone back and he had watched like a couple of early episodes of the show, and he had watched Battle of the Blackwater, and in that Davos' son turns to him and says, they're ringing the bells. They've surrendered. And Davos goes, I've never known bells to mean anything good. Let's give them music back. And they join the battle. So, like, they're ignoring their own fucking canon with the whole bells thing, first of all. And even if that were the case, like, he's saying, if there was one throwaway line in there between, like, Grey Worm and Dany, it was like, no, the bells have been used as a trick before. We will ignore them. One line. One simple line to make it all a mistake. You know? Even that would have been something I could have gotten on board with that they could have played with a lot better. Like, imagine if you'd made that kind of horrible mistake. Would you want to live? Like, that would have been a mercy killing for her. That could have made her go crazy. And then her little speech where she's like, I liberated them. That would have made sense. You know, one tiny change could have made it all different.
And I'm so surprised because they have been very consistent throughout the show with little loose threads and connecting them. So, like, things that happened back in series one, and they have resolution to it, and they haven't forgotten small things that would have happened. Or did anyone see about so of course the coffee cup was the big talking point a few episodes ago.
Yeah. And
this time it's the water bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this.
Apparently, he was wearing his gold hand at some point too, Jamie, in the bells. Like, apparently Nikolai Coster-Waldau had his regular hand out at some point.
Oh, I never noticed that one or any articles about
it. I didn't see any of it because I'm so over it now, but I heard.
Oh, you just made me realize, what was the whole thing about brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes for if you know, Arya didn't kill Daenerys in the end, or Cersei?
Bullshit, more bullshit.
Yeah. Like, I think initially it might just have been, you know, it was just meant to imply that Arya is going to kill a lot of people. And now, dropping back, like, oh, we said blue eyes.
It's just nothing but pratfalls with writing. It's like the laziest, shittiest. It's pretty, but it sure is pretty. Those shots, you know.
Yeah.
It's very good looking.
Oh, I did. This was probably the one scene that I did like. Like, when Dany walks out and Drogon spreads his wings behind her. That was a beautiful scene, I have to say.
That was very cool. I liked that too.
Yeah.
I also liked when John walks by and he just sees, well, Drogon just shakes all the snow off him too.
Oh, yeah. The ashes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, ashes.
Okay, so that's a thing, right? Is it snow or is it ashes? Because I was pretty fucking sure it was snow, given that I thought I heard it crunching under people's feet, and it is winter.
I was convinced it was snow,
too. But then
too.
A couple weeks later, it's high summer. They're in the dragon pit, and it's a bright and sunshiny day. So is it winter or is it not winter?
I think it's... it might be winter, but I don't think it's snow. It's ashes. I don't know why the ashes are so white, but...
Yeah, or why they would be continuing to fall that much.
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares? It looks beautiful, so I don't know.
Hannah, any positives about the episodes?
No, I don't care anymore. It's fucking stupid, Glenn.
When do we get to John? That's when my real rant starts.
I'm telling you, like, okay, the thing with Drogon behind her in the wings, that was fucking cool. It doesn't mean anything at this point to me, though. Like, I can't even enjoy that because all I sit there and think of is, like, that stupid fucking white horse from the last goddamn episode. It's like, this means nothing. Maybe spend a little less time setting up these shots and a little more time on plot. Just saying. Uh-huh. Just saying.
I agree.
If I wanted to see, like, a really cool metal music video, I'd just go look up, like, Pantera or something. I don't fucking need this. I wanted a story.
How long was this episode? It was like an hour and 19 minutes.
The same length as last episode, so it was 80 minutes.
Yeah, 80 minutes, right? And now that we're discussing it, like, honestly, do you remember there being like a lot of scenes? Like, I feel like every scene was really, really long, but it didn't have
a lot. This whole season has been like that. Like, the guy, Jonathan, that does Game of Thrones on Funny or Die, one of his first episodes this season was like Game of Stairs. And then he just lined up all the shots where everyone's just staring at each other. And it's a lot. Like, they went full Twilight on it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a three act episode. So the first act is up to the point where Daenerys dies, Jon kills her. Then the second act seems to be that council scene where they decide on the king. And then the final part of it is where we see everyone depart. All four of the Stark children, of course, depart on their own journeys.
So, John killing Danny, that was expected, right? Like, they've been setting it up for the last couple of episodes. Like,
for a second when he kissed her, I was like, oh my god, is he going to drink her Kool-Aid too? Like, for a second I thought, maybe he just snapped and is ready to support her. I would have actually liked that.
Yeah, I honestly, that would have been better than would be God. But anyway, so after he kills her, like, when Drogon is... Why doesn't Drogon eat him? Please just eat Jon and put us out of our misery.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing is I was hoping that Jon would have, like, mind-melded a little bit with Drogon and been like...
Yeah, either that.
Made Drogon judge her as unworthy, make Drogon kill her. Like, she should have melted in that throne. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't think you can claim a dragon if it already has a rider that's still alive. But once Dany is dead, like, there's that chance for Jon to claim him. But Drogon just burns the Iron Throne and flies away. Like, what does he have against the Iron Throne? Like, it's an animal. Why would it destroy the Iron Throne and leave Jon alive? Like, I don't understand that.
Right.
It just, either they could have set it up like, you know, it was trying to kill Jon and burn the Iron Throne instead. But it specifically turns away from Jon and burns the Iron Throne, which makes no sense other than the fact that they wanted to get rid of it.
Oh, it's because Drogon realizes it leads to so much destruction. So Daenerys' quest for this throne leads to her death. And many others that seek its power. So, of course, Drogon destroys it.
That is, like, part of a totally different book. Like, that's part of a totally different show.
But why would the animal understand all that?
I know.
Yeah. Because Sentient Dragons is a different show. I think it's on Showtime, actually.
Okay, so can I please just get on my Jon...
Yes.
...rant now? Okay, so... This show is based on a series of books, in case anyone doesn't know. The series of books is called The Song of Ice and Fire, right? Ice.
In case anyone doesn't know, like, the people that worked on the show, it's based on books.
Yeah. So the ice and fire is generally thought to refer to two families. The ice is for the Starks and the fire is for the Targaryens, right? But you don't know that when you're reading the books, you don't really know that. But as you start reading them, gradually you realize, oh, these two families might have come together at one point, and a child might have come out of that union, who is the prophesized hero who will bring the entire realm together to fight off the threat from the north, right? There's this destiny set out for this supposed child, right? And as we read, we realize that it's Jon Snow. Jon Snow is Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark's child, right? And it's set up from the very first book. So he's he's been on this character arc, and it's he's been on this character arc not just in the books but also on the show. Like, they had the Azor Ahai prophecy in the prince that was promised, and yeah, there was it equally points to Dany as well. But then we get to the last season, and then neither of those pan out. Like, it's not Dany, it's not John. They forget everything that they've set up themselves in order to give it to a fan favorite character, right? Which I absolutely hate. But then, what is the point of having John at all? Like, he doesn't do anything. Like, he doesn't. Why did we go on this journey with John if there was no point to it?
I agree. If this is how it is in the books, I hope he stays dead then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would he have been brought back to life if he wasn't going to do anything in the future? Like, Melisandre can see the future, right? In the books, it's set up to be this, you know, when she asks for visions of Azor Ahai, she says that she sees only snow, and the snow is like capital S, which means it's John. Like, she wants to see Stannis, but it shows her Jon Snow instead. And then none of this pans out, and he doesn't even, like, George also sets up the Dance of the Dragons, where two Targaryens fight each other. Like, he said that's going to happen in the future. Like, either that might be fake Aegon and Dany, or it might be Jon versus Dany, and we don't see any of that. So what's the point of all this setup if we are not going to get any of it, if none of that is going to pay off?
But if without Jon, who would have stopped Daenerys?
Anyone who could have got close enough to Dany. Like, Arya could have done it. I don't know. But, like, that was it. Like, he doesn't say anything and he just goes up and stabs her. That's it.
I also really despised the fact that when they sent him to the wall, they specifically made him look like episode one John with his hair and shit.
Oh, I noticed
No, yeah. Just go fuck yourself. Like, stop it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's another problem I have. Like, so many characters we see, like, they go on these entire epic journeys and, you know, they go on redemption arcs and whatnot, and then they end up in the same place that they started out. Like, there's no, like, you know, we see Jamie, like, he gets so much for his character, but in the end, he just returns to Cersei. John spends so many years, he becomes our commander, whatnot, and then he just goes, he dies, he's brought back to life. Okay, so can we get to the council seat so I can go on my next rant?
Yep, of course. One thing I was trying my best to work out who all those people were. I did find an article where it lists, I mean, some of the people I recognised and some of the people I made a good guess of who they were, like, also by the costumes they were wearing too, so I could tell one of them, obviously from Dorne, so this new Prince of Dorne, possibly Quentin, not sure.
Yeah.
There's a few others. Obviously there was Sweet Robin grown up, I guess that, but a few I didn't recognise. What were your thoughts around the council scenes?
I didn't care at this point.
It's so stupid. Like,
the only part about this scene,
like, Tobias Mackenzie is such a good actor, and poor Edmure, they just leaned full tilt into, like, he's an idiot.
Yeah. The only part of the scene that I liked was when Sam stood up and he said, you know, maybe we should get everyone a say in this, and everyone just laughs. And I thought that was so realistic. Like, at that time, in this setting, like, nobody's going to accept a democracy.
I mean, they go the vote, so Tyrion says aye to Bran, and then it's like the I am Spartacus throughout, so everyone repeats it, I throughout. And then...
Which I don't understand. Like, why are these people following somebody like they don't even know? Like, Bran has never even left the North. Like, this is the first time he's come to King's Landing. None of these people... Okay, fine, Edmure is their uncle, so that's understandable. But other than that, why are these people following him? Like, why would Robin Arryn follow him? Like, he'd say, that's my cousin. I have as much right to the throne as he does. Like, why would he be the one to get it?
I was so confused about that too. But then Sansa is the only one to stand up and see something different. That, yes, you'll have... Well, it doesn't matter because I'm outvoted anyway, but the North will be an independent country. But then I was confused why others didn't say the same.
Yeah, I don't care about anyone else, but, like, honestly, do you see Yara Greyjoy, like, just taking that? Like, oh, she gets her own kingdom, but I don't? Like, okay, so others might find that difficult. Like, the Riverlands can't exactly break away that easily. Even Dorne is, like, mostly connected to the continent, but the North can easily be split away. And the other one that can is the Iron Islands. Like, they're islands. They're not even on the mainland. So they can just very easily split away. So that would have been, like... And Yara Greyjoy decided to follow Daenerys, like, as she points out. So why would she follow a Stark instead? Like, they've been enemies for so long. Why would she just follow him blindly because others have decided it for her? I don't understand that.
I also don't see it lasting long before there's another war. Maybe between two kingdoms, maybe between the whole kingdom, but I don't see it lasting long.
Yeah, and Dorne and the Starks are enemies. I don't understand why Dorne would follow him. Like, this whole thing started because Rhaegar ran off with Lyanna Stark and left Elia in the dust. Like, why? How is this a logical conclusion? I don't understand it.
It was the low point of the episode for me. And that's saying something, because there was a lot of negative points about the episode.
There were a lot of low points.
What were your thoughts, Jock, on the council moment, election of Bran?
I don't think it ever made much sense.
Well, even though you thought that Bran would be king, you still don't think that the getting there made sense.
I only thought Bran would be made king because Dan and Dave have this whole no emotion, strong leader thing.
The suggestion comes from Tyrion, who is awaiting trial, effectively, between Grey Worm and Unsullied, because they want him dead. So, effectively, a prisoner made a suggestion for the new king. And then, of course, Bran selected Tyrion to be the new hand of the king. I do like on Dragoncast when they mention it throughout all the episodes that Tyrion is built up to be this great mind, this great strategist, but we never see it happen. We never...
Every character, whatever they've been built up to do or be, utterly failed except for Sam.
But yeah, I did have a problem with the whole Tyrion thing. So if Grey Worm is holding Jon and Tyrion as prisoners, why would he just give him up? And why would he accept Bran being king? Like, he has the city. Why would he just leave? This makes no sense.
Well, and if he is going to fucking leave, well, what does he care? What does he care what happens?
Just let him behead Jon and be done with it.
Like, oh my God, just fake John's death, tell him, oh yeah, we executed him this morning, see you later. Like, are you stupid?
Oh, anyway.
And the Dothraki have been built up to be this big force ever since season one. That was the reason that Daenerys was married to Khal Drogo because of his Khalasar. It was they are ruthless people, and the only threat is passing over the ocean. But of course, once they do that, like, they're a huge threat to, like, the entire city, to all of the Seven Kingdoms. So them just backing away and leaving didn't make sense either.
Honestly, the Dothraki have just been reduced to generic barbarians in the show. Like, there's no subtlety to them. There's no motivation for them. There's nothing. Like, it was just, yeah, Dany said, we're going, so we're going. She's dead, so, you know, who cares? That's it. Like, there's no... The show obviously doesn't, like, the showrunners obviously don't care about them, so it's just whatever.
We also get a scene where Brienne comes across the White Book and finds Jaime's entry within there. And that's been a joke through in the books, in the series, that he's got maybe half a page dedicated to him. Whereas others have had, like, several pages written about them. And it's actually tying up a comment earlier. So back in season 3, they look at the White Book, and Joffrey mentions it, that no one's written about you in this. And Jaime says there's still time. And yeah. Then Joffrey just says... time to write about you, so a 40-year-old with no hand. So I thought it was great that Brienne was to finish that.
Yeah. I did, when I watched this, I enjoyed the scene. Like, it was sweet, like Brienne doing this for Jaime. But now I have a question. If Brienne is writing in the book, that means she's the Lord Commander of the King's Guard. But if she is, then why is she there? Like, she's one of Sansa's sworn swords, right? And Sansa is queen in the north. Why isn't she with Sansa? Why is she defending Bran in King's Landing?
That is a good question. It could be maybe an off scene conversation where Sansa says to Brienne to stay to protect Bran, but then who's there to protect Sansa, especially with Yara Greyjoy, who might be coming soon?
Yeah.
So we also have a small council scene. So with Bran, we've got Bronn as the master of coin.
I was just saying, if they'd gone like full Saint Elsewhere on it and it turned out to be all like a coma dream of Bran's, it would have made more sense and been more gratifying. Because then at least I could have been like, oh, well, he's just a dumbass kid, so.
But I did enjoy the scene. Like, there was this moment of levity in an otherwise pretty terrible episode. So I didn't mind the scene. I enjoyed it.
You know how John to go back to the wall, but then that was because he did kill Daenerys. Why does Sam get to stay and be, you know, Grandmaester Tarly and not have to go back to the wall?
Yeah, another plot hole. Like, I didn't even think of this, but yeah, he never left the Night's Watch. So if it still exists,
well,
then
how the shit does he get to be Grandmaester of all things, too?
Yeah, he left the Citadel, right? Like, he didn't finish his education. He didn't forge his chain.
Well, I mean, he's wearing one and it looks like he's got like two links now. But it's like, okay, so first of all, what about Gillian the baby? Second of all, what about the fact that you were only sent to the Citadel to become the maester for the Night's Watch? And third of all, are you guys just getting to make whatever fucking choices you want to make at this point? Like, no one else came out of any other woodwork from any other castle and went, maybe not.
Yeah, no one vetted the CVs for these positions. There was, of course, they've got Gendry as Lord Commander of... No, sorry. He's...
Yeah, like, at the end of this episode, I was laughing because none of it made any sense to me. It was,
yeah, I just didn't care. After last week, I was done.
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore. Like, even as soon as the last
Drogon started burning the city, I was out, mentally checked out.
I'm done.
I mean, I was pretty done, like, well before then, but that was definitely the last straw. I was just like, oh, I don't care anymore, so whatever. Do whatever you want. Like, it means nothing. Nothing means anything. You've broken your own rules.
I mean, with the ending, last week I did make a reference to The Hunger Games Mockingjay, and I felt like Jon had a similar ending to Katniss in that movie/book. Where he's done something, he's made a huge sacrifice, he's saved a lot of people by killing Daenerys, and then through Drogon leaving, although with Drogon, that's like, Drogon could come back, or Drogon could be out killing a lot of people right now, because he has to eat. So I was surprised that we didn't see the dragon slayed during the episode. I guess the final obstacle of that. He's, of course, killed Daenerys, but then obviously it's dying, being executed or being sent to the wall, so he does go back to the wall. But that means, of course, leaving his family forever, that likely he'll never see his family. And also, you do get the impression that maybe none of them will see each other again, which is really sad. So it's that bittersweet ending that we were all promised. But then that's... So, of course, he's made that sacrifice, very much like Katniss. She makes that decision to kill President Coin, and then everyone deserts her. She's abandoned, like Jon. But I think that's one of the strong points of the episode, that he goes and he sees Tormund, and he can then start this new life, that they can all range beyond the wall and start that new world. Now they don't have that threat of the others. That's one of the things that really picked up the episode for me, so the ending to it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying about the Hunger Games, but yeah, why was Tormund waiting for Jon at the wall? Like, hadn't he already left? Like, we'd already said goodbye to Tormund. So, I don't know. And he was sent back to the Night's Watch, right? Is he just allowed to go beyond the wall and just, you know, settle down? I don't know. What is he trying to do? Like, he's just escorting
the wildlings back? I couldn't tell if he was arranging or he's going to go be king beyond the wall, or...
How can it be arranging? Like, there are no other... there's no one else from the Night's Watch with Jon. It's just the wildlings and Jon. That's it.
I got the impression that there's no one really in charge since they're all dead. So, once the soldiers, so there's Jon and there's the two soldiers that are escorting him to the Night's Watch. I'm guessing once they leave, then they all just make a decision to move beyond the wall, now that there's no more others to worry about. So that's why I got the impression they would just move beyond.
So then what's the point of the Night's Watch at all? Like, obviously, somebody is paying for their upkeep, right? And when they do reach Castle Black, there do seem to be people there, like, wearing black uniforms. So I'm assuming that's the Night's Watch. And the Night's Watch operates on the principle that, you know, if one Lord Commander dies, they elect the next one on their own. So wouldn't they have already done that? And why would this new Lord Commander just let Jon go? Like, Ed's been dead for a while now. So they must have chosen a new one.
I'm guessing the writers didn't put much thought into.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I would say let's not tug at that thread too hard, Nadia. But I'm gonna go. I feel really terrible.
Aww. Oh, thanks for coming on, Hannah.
I love you guys. If we want to do trivia or something, I'm in. If we want to keep it going. I haven't decided whether I care enough to watch that documentary next week or not.
I don't.
I want to watch it because I do care about like how they shot it and stuff. You know, and I feel like the crew has earned my attention for that. I'm just worried about like, I haven't watched any this season of like the after show things because David and Dan have a tendency to be like, and George told us this would happen. So I just don't want them to.
George has come out and said, I think George has already come out and said like the ending will be different in the books. So
I know that much at least. I just like, I don't want to know anything because it's going to leave a bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they did it, you know. So anyways, I love you guys. I'm going back to bed.
Bye, Hannah.
Adios. Many blessings.
Bye.
I guess, what were your thoughts on Arya and her decision to, I guess, sail around the world?
That is the one part I can get behind. Like, you know, letting Arya do her own thing. At one point, I was when Jon asks her what she's going to be doing and she kind of goes silent for a second, I cringed and I almost thought that she would go with Gendry to Storm's End. I was like, no, don't let this character, this amazing character, do that thing. But no, she decides to go on a voyage instead, and I love that. That's one of the things that was probably one of only two things that I enjoyed in the episode.
It was very similar to one of, it felt like the, I think it was the ending to season 3 when she boarded another ship. So I think that was it, season 3. So the entire ending felt like that, just like similar to that ending of 3 with the montage of all the characters and what they're doing next. So of course, this is the final episode, so we won't find out what happens beyond that, but we can, of course, guess what might happen. But I'm thinking that, much like when Robert's Rebellion, he did, of course, defeat Aerys Targaryen. He was king for 14 years or so, and it was all peace. I'm expecting that there will be another war soon. But I don't think it can last, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Oh, there was the conversation between Jon and Tyrion that we missed out, I think. That Tyrion's trying to be as subtle as possible, but basically saying that we have to stop Daenerys. But Jon is basically saying she's our queen, and that was her decision to do what she did. So, despite that, I could still see him making that decision to kill Daenerys, especially when he has his moment that they're both close together. There's no guards. There's no one else there. Just them two. So, I guess that was, I did expect that to happen. Although going into the episode, I was thinking it would be Arya that would do it.
Yeah, I almost thought so too. But yeah, I was going to be Jon. Like, otherwise, what? Why was he even there?
He at least did that.
At least.
I mean, I'm guessing that's the whole purpose of Jon throughout. That's why he had to be saved, so that he could be there to kill Daenerys and stop other people being harmed. in a warped logic way. But it still doesn't make sense because there could be other ways they could go with the story. Anything else to discuss?
No, I feel like I've ranted enough already.
Jock, yourself?
I'm fine.
No, fantastic. Well, thank you everyone for joining today, Sohanna, Jock, and Nadia. And thank you for everyone that listens to the episodes on YouTube and through, of course, iTunes. Hopefully, of course, Wolfcast will still continue. We've got the prequel coming up. Are you both excited about that?
David and Nan are not doing that, so yeah, I'm excited for it.
So yeah, that might be the next big thing that we can all get excited about, and there will be multiple podcasts on it. Hopefully there's other topics that might come up. So there's always, of course, the next book release that we can, you know, I'm sure over 50 people want to podcast on that. So sadly there wasn't that glorious announcement of the next book coinciding with the final episode that I was hoping for.
At this point, that's not even news anymore.
It's not. Okay, well, thank you everyone once again, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Glenn.
Bye everyone.